thank you for a blessed day. We thank you for the children here today, and we ask a special blessing upon Denise and them as they go to junior church. We ask, God, that you be with them as they learn these very important stories that are so important to the foundation of their faith. Father, we also ask a special blessing upon us as we come to your holy word today. Father, may we not only be hearers of your precious word, but may we always be doers of your word. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, after a two-month break, we're going to get back to our sermon series on the Gospel of John. And today, we're going to start looking at chapter 11. Chapter 11. Now, let me begin by asking you this question to set this message up. How many of you struggle with impatience? Raise your hand. Only a few of you. Okay, only a few of you. Now, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, let me give you a test. Let me give you a test. This is for those of you who think, oh, I have got plenty of patience. You're sitting at a traffic light, all right? You're all sitting at a traffic light, and you are the second car in line. The light turns green, and the person in front of you is obviously not paying attention and is looking at their phone. How long do you wait before you honk your horn? Not very long. Yeah, we talk a big game when it comes to patience, don't we? But boy, come on, dude, what are you doing? Now, it's one thing to be impatient with a driver of a car. But do you ever get impatient with God? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at a section of Scripture where two women by the name of Mary and Martha, who are sisters, they beg Jesus to come and heal their sick brother Lazarus. And instead of Jesus leaving right away, he intentionally delays in coming to them. And these sisters are absolutely flabbergasted. They're absolutely puzzled by Jesus' lack of response to their request. And you know, in the same way, there are times when we ask God to do something, and his answer is either slow in coming or our prayer doesn't seem like it's answered at all. Now, before we get into this, let me remind you where we are in the book of John. Before the Christmas season, we finished up chapter 10. And at the end of chapter 10, Jesus has just escaped from being stoned to death in Jerusalem. Jesus had made the religious leaders so angry, they picked up stones to kill him. But Jesus was able to escape that. And it tells us that Jesus went down to the Jordan River to a place where he was baptized. Apparently, this must have been a sanctuary to him because there were quite a few people there who loved him. And so that's where Jesus is at this time. And this is where we pick up the story. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 11, and we're going to take a look. We're going to spend 3 weeks in this story, by the way, 3 weeks, because this is the big miracle, guys. This is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So we're going to spend 3 weeks. We're not going to rush through it. We're going to spend some time talking about this miracle. And today we're going to look at the first 16 verses of John chapter 11. And I'm reading from the LSB, which is the Legacy Standard Bible, this morning. So John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." He said these things, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him." The disciples then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be saved from his sickness." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of actual sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Therefore Thomas, who is also called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go so that we may die with him." Have you ever asked God for something where you needed an answer right away? I don't know, maybe it was healing for a loved one. Maybe it was a resolution of a problem. And although you were needing an answer quickly, you didn't get it. You felt like David. David, who cried out to God in Psalm chapter 69, verse 17, "And do not hide your face from your slave, for I am in distress. Answer me quickly." You know, I think sometimes we all struggle with God's delays. But friends, we need to realize that God's delays are not always God's denials. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to take a look at two things. First, I want us to consider our problem when it comes to God's delays. Not his problem, our problem when it comes to God's delays. And secondly, I want to take a look at some of God's reasons, some of God's purposes for his delays to our prayer requests. So let's get started by first looking at our problem we have with God's delays. Now, I think it would help us here if we put ourselves in the story. Okay, let's put ourselves in the story. We're hanging out with Jesus down by the Jordan River, okay? And all of a sudden, the messenger shows up and he says, "Jesus, you're needed back at Bethany right now because your good friend Lazarus is dying. And Mary and Martha, they need you, and they need you now." Now, what would we expect Jesus to do? Leave immediately, right? That's what I would expect. That's what you would expect. You get news like that, you're leaving right then and that, then and there. But he didn't do that. He intentionally what? Delays. He doesn't go for another 2 days. That would have absolutely blew our expectations. We've been, what is this guy doing? What is he doing? And then we start thinking about poor Mary and Martha. Have you ever really, really thought about Mary and Martha? These two women must have been pacing the floor waiting for Jesus to show up. Their beloved brother is close to death. They're watching him struggle to breathe. I imagine they're taking him cold compresses and putting it on his forehead to help ease his fever. And the whole time they're doing this, they're looking out the window to see if Jesus is coming down the road, and no sign at all. Jesus is a no-show. And Lazarus dies. So what do Mary and Martha do? Well, they do what you do for a corpse in those days. They wrapped Lazarus's body in strips of cloth. They lay him in a shallow cave and they roll a stone across the opening. And still no Jesus. Can you imagine what must have been going through the mind of those sisters? And here's the thing. You may have had the same kind of experience. You're facing a crisis, and you're begging God to help you. You're looking for immediate help, an immediate response. But instead, it seems as if heaven is just silent. Well, friends, let me tell you something. When that happens, when God delays to answer our prayers, it's only natural for us to start questioning God. It's natural for us to have questions about God. And there are usually three questions that we often ask when our prayers aren't answered immediately. First, does God really know what's going on? Does he know what's going on? Don't you think that must have crossed Mary and Martha's mind? Does Jesus know what's going on here? Did the messenger even get to him? You know, we may not think that God is aware of what we're going through, but the Bible tells us this about God in Psalm chapter 147, verse 5. It says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His discernment is infinite." God knows what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. That's because he's omniscient, which means God knows all and God does see all. So that's the first question some people have. Does God really know what's going on? The second question we often ask when our prayers aren't immediately answered is, God just indifferent? In other words, he knows, but he really doesn't care. You see, later in this chapter, we're going to read where Martha meets Jesus on the road. And she looks at him and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You can almost hear her accusation in her words. "Hey, there's no hurry to help us now. He's dead. He's been dead for 4 days and now you show up." And if that's not bad enough, the other sister, Mary, she comes out of the house and she basically says the same thing to him. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then it gets even worse from there. As Jesus approaches the tomb, some of the people, they're running their mouths, and what are they saying to him? They're saying to each other, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" And sadly, we often do the same thing. When our prayers don't seem to be answered, we want to get into the blame game with God. But friends, the Bible teaches us in so many places that God does care for us. For instance, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we're told that we should cast all of our anxieties on him because he cares for you. You see, my favorite part of this passage is verse 5. Look at what it says there. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Did you notice that Jesus' love here is personal to each one of them? You see, that's God's love. God's love is personal. God loves you, and God loves me. So that's the second question we often have. Does he even care? Yeah, he does. Well, the third question we often ask when our prayers aren't immediately answered, maybe God is too busy somewhere else. In other words, this is a big universe, isn't it? There's a lot of responsibility running this universe to respond to every individual prayer request that's lifted up to heaven. Well, friends, I got news for you. God is not Bruce Almighty. How many of you remember the movie Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey played Bruce? I thought it was a hilarious movie, okay? Some people might say, oh, it's sacrilege and everything like that. Morgan Freeman is God, and Jim Carrey has a problem with God. He thinks God is slow, doesn't know what he's doing and stuff like that. So Morgan Freeman comes down and he says, okay, you think it's easy to be God? You be God. So this ordinary guy by the name of Bruce becomes God. And the movie is absolutely hilarious because Bruce, played by Jim Carrey, has all these prayer requests coming at him. And he doesn't know what to do, so he's got in his house are all these sticky notes with everybody's prayer requests. Then he's like, okay, I'm way overwhelmed. Let me do a computer. I'm going to put all these prayer requests in a computer. He's got all these computers. And while he's putting them in, he's like, oh, these people are such whiners. And he's putting in all these prayer requests in. And all of a sudden, he has the bright idea, I'm just going to say yes to everybody's prayers. So he hits yes to everybody's prayers. And it messes up the entire world. I mean, everybody wins the lottery and it pays out $1 and things like that. It's just like, it's crazy. But we have this idea that God is like Bruce Almighty. He's overwhelmed by all the prayers of billions of people at the same time. No. There's another fancy word for God, and that is omnipotent. He's all powerful, yet he cares for you personally. And if you don't believe me, look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 Assyria? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. In other words, if God cares for the sparrows, don't you think he cares for you? No, God isn't too busy to hear your prayers and to answer your prayers. All right, let's move on. And let's take a look at God's purpose for his delays. God God does have a purpose in everything he does now. And we need to understand that. You see, when it comes to God, God is more interested in timing than in time. How many of you believe that? We are creatures of time, are we not? We have to live in time. God doesn't live in time. So God is more interested in timing than he is in time. And let's face it, God's timing is impeccable. But here's the problem. I have my own timetable. The world revolves around me. This is Ken's world. You just happen to live in it. We have that attitude. I have my own timetable. I'm going to tell God when to act. Well, that's where we get frustrated because guess what? God has his timetable. And it's not necessarily on mine. For instance, in the New Testament, there are two words for time. One Greek word is chronos. That's linear time. That's what we live in. It's minutes, it's hours, it's days, it's months, it's years. We all live by chronos. But there's another Greek word for time that is kairos. And that means the right timing. That's where God lives. Okay? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "But when the fullness of the time, Kairos, came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." So you see, God is more interested in timing than in time, and we need to understand that. And there are three reasons that God will sometimes delay the answer to your prayers. Three reasons why sometimes your prayers will be delayed. I didn't say unanswered. I said delayed. First, to bring the greatest glory to him. Look again at verse 4. "But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.'" And then when we get to verse 40, Jesus says to Martha, he says, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Now that word glory means attention. It means spotlight. So knowing that, what would give Jesus a greater spotlight? Healing a sick man or raising a dead man? What would give him more glory, more spotlight? Healing Lazarus or raising Lazarus from the dead? Well, I think we all know the answer to that. You see, God is always going to take the path that's going to give him the greatest glory. And guess what? He doesn't want to share his glory with anyone. It's his glory. Do you think Jesus could have healed Lazarus from a long distance? Well, absolutely. He did it before, didn't he? Remember when we were talking in John chapter 4? Remember the who was this guy? He was a royal official. His son was sick. And Jesus healed his son from a long distance, from miles away. Jesus spoke the word and the man's son was healed. You really don't think he could have done that for Lazarus? Of course he could have. But again, God is always going to take the path that will give him the greatest glory. He'll do whatever will make his name famous. And our job is to give him the glory, not to try to steal his glory. So that's the first thing. Sometimes God delays the answer to your prayers because he's wanting to give the greatest glory to himself. He says, I have something else in mind that's going to make my name even greater. It's going to bring more people to me. Well, the second reason God will sometimes delay the answer to our prayers is because he wants us to grow up in the faith. He wants us to grow up in the faith. Look at what Jesus told his disciples in verse 11. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awaken him. Now, Jesus' disciples thought Lazarus was what? Sleeping. So, Jesus in verse 14 and 15, Jesus had to speak clearly. Remember, Jesus always spoke in what? Parables. But sometimes Jesus had to speak plainly because they didn't get it. And this is one of those instances. So, in verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. And then he blows them away by saying this, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Do y'all see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, guys, the reason I'm not leaving right away is because I want you boys to grow up in your faith. Some of you still don't know what's going on. And you need to grow up. Let's see how much you believe now when I raise somebody from the dead who's been dead for 4 days. You know what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples? And what he's trying to teach us? For a Christian, death is like sleeping. That's what he's trying to teach us. That's what he's trying to teach his disciples. For a Christian, death is nothing to fear. It's just like sleeping. It shouldn't be feared any more than lying down and pulling the covers under your chin to sleep. And that's because Jesus took the sting of death away when he died. And the apostles picked up this idea. They understood it. Look at what Paul wrote. Paul wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica. He said, we believe that God will bring with Jesus all those who have fallen asleep. If you're here today and you have a loved one who has passed away, that person has fallen asleep according to Jesus. Fallen asleep. And that's what he's trying to teach us. That's what he was trying to teach them. And he proved it. Jesus has the power to resurrect you. And he showed that with Lazarus. The man was dead for 4 days, and he says, I'm going to show you guys. He's just sleeping. You may think it's death, but for a Christian, it's just sleeping. So you see, God will often delay the answers to our prayers so we'll grow. Where do we do our growing the most in this Christian walk? Do we do our growing when we're on a mountaintop experience, when everything is great? I don't. When things are going great for me, I'll be very honest with you, I don't always think about God. No, when everything's good, my health is going well, Paul and I are getting along really well, and everything is hunky-dory, everything is wonderful. But when I'm in the valley, that's when I'm grabbing on to God. That's when I grow in my faith. And that's when you grow in your faith too, because that's when you got to grab onto God. You got to grab onto Him with everything you got. God always answers prayers. Always remember that. God always answers prayers. There's a song, I think Garth Brooks wrote a song many, many years ago, "Thank God for All the Unanswered Prayers." I never liked that title of that song, because that's not true. That's terrible theology. Thank God for the unanswered prayers? No, 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 no. God always answers prayers in His time. Now, if our prayer request isn't right, God says no. Like it or not, that's an answer. If the timing isn't right, God says slow down. Like it or not, that's an answer. If we're not right with God, He may say, grow up first. And then I'll talk about answering the prayer the way you want it. That's an answer. Let me tell you something. When the request, when the timing, and when you are right with God, He'll say, go and claim your answer by faith. Here's the thing people don't understand about prayer. And I'm going to teach you something today about prayer. If you are in a sinful lifestyle right now, if you are in an unrepented lifestyle right now, you are living a life of sin. You may be a born-again Christian, but you are not living the will of God in obedience with God. If you are in an unrepented, sinful lifestyle, you haven't repented of it, you can pray until you're blue in the face and God is not going to hear that prayer. Sin separates us from God. Even if you're a Christian, yes, you're still saved, but it's hurting that relationship. It's kind of like a parent with a child. If this child is just terribly disobedient, does that hurt our relationship with our child? Absolutely it does. If your child is constantly disobedient to you as a parent, you're what? That's hurt that response, that has hurt that relationship. But if your child is obedient to you when you're talking to them, that relationship is strong. And guys, it's the same way with God. If you're living in a sinful lifestyle, you can pray until you're blue in the face. He's not going to hear that prayer. You have to be right with God too. And here's another thing. Your prayer request has to line up with His will. We just think we just can say a prayer to God and He's going to answer it like, no. It has to be in His will. And we have to be in His will. There's a lot more to prayer than most people think. Let's move on. Third reason God will sometimes delay the answer to your prayers is because He wants to supply the greatest good for you. Have you ever thought the prayer that you're asking for isn't the best for you? Can you imagine? I said this last night. I am sure glad that God did not answer a prayer that I prayed when I was a young man. There was this young lady that I wanted to marry so bad. And I said, God, this is my wife. Will you make her my wife? Didn't happen. And I am so thankful. Because this gal has been divorced like 4 or 5 times. I am so glad that God said, no. No, I've got somebody else plan for you. And I'm going on 44 years of marriage. I don't know about you, but I look back at some of my prayer requests and I'm like, I'm so glad he didn't answer those prayers. Sometimes he delays because the prayer request we're asking for is not in our best interest. Sometimes God has what? Something better for us. You see, Mary and Martha thought that the best way for Jesus to show his love was to what? To hurry up and get there and heal their brother. But Jesus loved them with an everlasting love. You know, there are so many definitions of love out there. And I recently heard one from John Piper that I really like. It said, love means giving us what we need most. And then he went on to say that what Mary and Martha and the disciples needed most was the endless experience of the glory of God. And that's what you and I need most. We need a fresh revelation of the greatness and the glory of God. And sometimes he'll ask us so to wait in order that we can see his glory. As it says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, therefore Yahweh waits with longing to be gracious to you, and therefore he is on high to have compassion on you, for Yahweh is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who wait for him. Don't get ahead of him. Wait for him. Miss Jackie Patton, do you know that one of the greatest virtues a person can have is patience? Yes. Yes.
Pray for it.
Jackie. One of the greatest virtues that a person can have is patience.
Amen.
Allowing God to be God in God's own time. You see, our lives are not on our time. We live on God's time, not ours. And we always have to remember that. I'm going to close with this. In the Far East, there's a kind of bamboo tree that grows in a truly unique way. This is called a Chinese bamboo plant. True story. After seed is planted, you water it, you take care of it. For the first year, there is no visible sign of growth. So you keep watering it, you keep taking care of it. Guess what? In the second year, there's still no sign of growth. The third year passes, still nothing. The fourth year passes, still nothing. Most people give up by this time and think that the seed has failed. But then in the fifth year, something amazing happens. In just 6 weeks, the bamboo tree shoots up to over 80 feet tall. In 6 weeks. Now, did it grow 80 feet in 6 weeks? No. It was growing the whole time. You just didn't see the growth. The roots were spreading deep, growing for 5 years underground, preparing to support the massive growth that would come in its season. I think that's the best way to explain how God's timing works. Yeah, sometimes it feels like nothing is happening as we pray. But you can bet your bottom dollar God is at work. He's at work. He's working beneath the surface. He's preparing us for the blessings and growth that he has in store. And when his time is just right, that's when everything aligns. And his perfect plan unfolds in a way that we have never imagined. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wait on God's time. His timing is impeccable. Patience is a virtue for a Christian. Wait for God. Don't get ahead of him. Keep praying. Keep praying. Sometimes you have to adjust your prayer. I'm going to end it with a story that I've told many times, and many of you have heard this, and some of you may never have heard this. My mother had Alzheimer's, and I prayed daily that my mom would be healed. Broke my heart. I lost my mom probably 3 years before she passed. She forgot who I was. And anybody ever go through that, that's very painful. And I prayed daily for my mom to be healed. And then it was just one night, the Lord just kind of spoke to me, and he let it be known to me. He says, Ken, I'm not going to heal your mom the way you want her to be healed. I'm going to heal her permanently. And to me, that was, he's going to take her home. And then I changed my prayer. And from that time on, I prayed, Lord, let her be able to recognize who I am before she passes. And you know what? God did honor that prayer. I had to change my prayer, and then I was lined up in his will. And guess what? Right before my mom passed, my mom knew everybody. Just a few days before she passed, her mind was clear that she knew everybody. There were actually people that thought, oh, she's healed. But no. That was God giving her the ability to basically say goodbye. So you see, that's how prayer works. Sometimes we have to change our prayers. We have to line our prayer up with God's will. And once we're right with God and his will is right, I'm telling you, prayer does get answered. So I hope you find encouragement in that, that God does answer prayer. Yeah, there's no such thing as unanswered prayer. He does answer prayer. Sometimes no is an answer. We don't like it, but sometimes it is. All right, let's pray, shall we? And again, we're going to spend 2 more weeks on this story because there's so much to this story. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for answered prayer. Father, you are a God that loves us so much. Father, more than anything, you want us to know how to pray. And Father, we need to be lined up in your will. We can pray till we're blue in the face, and if we are not in your will, it's not going to happen. Sometimes we need to change our prayers around a little bit. We need to discover what your will is, and we find that in the Bible, and then we pray that way. So Father, we thank you. I pray for each person here today to have patience. Somehow, Father, we've made that to be a dirty word, and that is not a dirty word. The Bible teaches that you are patient. You don't want anyone to be lost. You're a patient God. And Father, we need to be patient. We need to wait on you and not get ahead of you, and may that be so with us. May we have learned that today, not to get ahead of you, but to be patient and wait for your perfect timing. Father, we love you, we thank you, and it is in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we close, please stand. We're going to be singing page 332, Give Me Thy Heart. We're going to be doing all 3 verses.
Thank you.
may lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a wonderful day. God bless.